Our lesson this morning is out of Psalm 143, trusting God when overwhelmed by godless harassment. Believers can face godless harassment that is so acute that they feel emotionally and mentally overwhelmed by it. David faced such a trial, and he found God's help with it in Psalm 143. So we view the psalm for our insight and for our edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer first, and then we'll get into the ministry of his word. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for sending us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, rose again. By faith in him, we might have forgiveness, righteousness, and eternal life. We thank you, Father, for the Spirit of God who comes along then and helps, who indwells us as believers and equips us to understand the word and to use it, to apply it by his power. So we ask for wisdom, to pay attention to what you would have for us today, to understand the truth of the text, and then to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'll read the psalm in the King's English first, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew text. Psalm 143, this is a psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of antiquity. I remember or meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down to the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies. Out of thy mercy, cut off my enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Okay, the introductory notes comprise part of the first verse in the Hebrew text, so we're just staying with the numbering system in the English Bible for clarity with this lesson. Always remember in the Psalms, whenever you have introductory phrases up there, like it says, the Psalm of David or whatever else expressed, that's actually part of the Hebrew text. That's part of the inspired text itself, so we pay attention to those notes. So we translate Psalm 143, 1 to 12 from the Hebrew text as follows. A Psalm of David. O Yahweh, that's the name for God as the I Am by which he revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. This is the name that God uses when he speaketh of himself in reference to his covenant relationship with Israel. O Yahweh, hearken to my prayer. Give ear to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and in your righteousness, respond to me. Do not bring your servant into judgment, because there is no one physically alive who is righteous before your face. For my enemy pursues my life principle. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. My spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of a long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands unto you. My life principle, and you would supply the word thirst for you as does a parched land, Selah. Answer me quickly, O Yahweh. My spirit faints with longing. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit, and that would be the grave. Let the morning bring me word of your loyal love, because in you I have put my trust. Make known to me the way I should go, because unto you I lift up my life principle. Snatch me away from my enemies, O Yahweh, because I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, because you, that's an emphatic pronoun written in front of the verb, you are my Elohim. Elohim is the general word for creator God. May your wholesome spirit herd me on level ground, that is clear and paintable to traverse. David is likening himself here as a sheep. God is the shepherd. Herd me on level ground. For the sake of your name, that's your reputation, O Yahweh, revive me. In your righteousness, bring out my life principle from distress. In your loyal love, silence my enemies and destroy all who harass my life principle. For I myself, that's another emphatic pronoun written in front of the verb, I myself am your servant. Okay, we note significant observations regarding this psalm. David described his condition of great distress and having been harassed by his foes to where he suffered emotional and mental weakness as follows. He asked God to respond to him in his faithfulness and mercy, and that's a very strong plea. David then asked God not to judge him, for he realized he was a sinner just like anybody else. And in the current crisis, he could not afford not to be accepted by the Lord. Then David spoke of being crushed in spirit to the point of feeling dead. That's a sign of severe depression. As his spirit was faint and dismayed, David dwelt on God's works of long ago, which is an experience that is typical of those in great suffering. He noted that he was being harassed by his enemies, explaining the destitute nature of his mental state. So, in his great need, David asked God for clear and obvious guidance, that God would make his leading clear and easy for David to discern and follow, because he was in a weakened and mentally indecisive state. He clung to God's loyal love and faithfulness and to the realization that he was God's servant in a culture where the master was responsible to protect his servant. So the lesson is, in facing emotionally and mentally overwhelming harassment by foes that threatened him with very intense destructive depression, David held to God's righteousness and grace to fulfill his plans for David's life as his sure hope out of his difficult crisis. David asked for God for clear guidance and workable path in his weakness. So an application, if we face emotionally and mentally overwhelming harassment from our foes, may we hope in an almighty God and his purpose for our life and ask him for clear guidance and achieve an achievable path in our trial. I want to go back and look at a number of things in the psalm itself that clarify what we're talking about here. You'll notice in verse 2, where David says, "Do not bring your servant into judgment because there's no one physically alive who is righteous before your faith." Notice how that fits Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23 is part of the famous Romans road that we use in witnessing to people. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In other words, all men are sinners. Here's David conferring and complimenting that statement by the Apostle Paul. In fact, Solomon also in his, I think, his dedicatory prayer of the temple mentioned the fact that all men are sinners. One of the Proverbs, maybe by Solomon, I think, also mentions this. So you've got several passages of Scripture, different dispensations, different authors, but they all admit that no one who is physically alive is really perfectly righteous in and of himself before God. So the first lesson we have to take away from the passage that we have here this morning is that we're all sinners. I know that if you go to some churches today and you get up and tell the congregation that you are sinners, that they'll practically throw you out because they don't believe they're sinners. They haven't murdered anybody. They haven't stolen from bank. You know, they don't slander anybody and whatnot. But the Scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. David said it. Paul said it in Romans 3:23. Solomon, I know, said it either in his dedicatory prayer or in his dedicatory prayer and in the Proverbs. But all of us have sinned. So if you're here this morning and you think that you're going to heaven on your good works, I have some news for you. You're not. You can't make it. What you need to do is to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior in order to go to heaven. We're saved by grace, not by our works. None of our works can measure up to the standard of God's righteousness. You'll also notice in verse 3, where it says, dwell in darkness like those long dead. Verse 4, my heart within me is dismayed. And verse 6, his life principle dwells in a parched land. Verse 7, my spirit faints with longing. Also, verse 7, like those who go down to the pit. These are all descriptions of extensive depression. If you were to go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, would probably maybe give you Desiree or something else to fight off depression. And there are all sorts of ideas that people have. Depression ultimately is caused because there is a failure in the spiritual realm. A person is trying to bear a burden that he doesn't have the capacity to burden, to bear himself. Or he's experiencing a lot of hatred and so forth from someone else. The solution to the depression that David had was not going to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist, because Sigmund Freud did not exist before David. What did David do? He went to God. And that's what we need to do. We need to go to the Lord. It's true that there are certain situations that will create depression because of physical problems. If you break a bone, for example, you will experience, think about the third day, they say, the third or the fourth day, you'll experience a depression that is caused because of the break of the bone itself. That's a natural situation. If you get into a severe car accident, or if you get a trauma to the body and so forth, you'll suddenly get into a depression a couple days down the road. That's physically induced, and that will pass. But this type of depression here deals with the spiritual realm. So the way out of depression in this case is through relying on the Lord. Also, you'll notice in David's depressed state, in verse 8, it says, make known to me the way that I should go. And then in verse 10, heard me on level ground. David recognized that he couldn't think straight. When you're experiencing extreme depression, your mind is clouded. You're not objective at all. You're very subjective. Your viewpoints of other people, your viewpoint of yourself and so forth, it's all distorted many times. What we need to do is what David did, recognize that we need help even thinking how to think, how to view ourselves, how to view other people. And we need to ask God to show us the way and to recognize that God's got to make the path clear. You know, if a person is suffering intensely and they can't think straight, it would be cruel for God to play a guessing game with them. What we need is God to ring a gong the size of a 6-foot diameter in our right ear, so we get the point. You know, it shakes our whole body, so to speak. But that's what we need. We need God to make it very clear. And then heard me. Sometimes we need herding. We don't even know to follow the right direction, so we need to be herded. To be herded to beast to shove from behind, all right, or worked. On level ground. If it's not ground that is level, we can get distracted. We might think, here's a bump, that's not the path, and then we turn off the path because there's a bump. No, herd me on level ground. Remove all the bumps from the path so that it's flat and it's obvious. David is obviously asking God to give him obvious, clear guidance. And that's what you need when you're going through this. So if you ever face this, and I don't know if there's anyone here who's facing an intense trial right now where you're struggling with depression, the best thing to do is recognize that you need very clear guidance, and that's God. God will come through, and look to him to help you in regards to that area of life. It's very, very important. So let me go. I don't know if there's something else that I had. No, but it's interesting. Verse 4, my spirit grows faint within me, my heart within me is dismayed. Weakness within the spirit. A lack of decisiveness is another one of the problems that comes up. These are all symptoms that come from this depressed state. And what we need is to rely upon the Lord. I really believe that the spiritual realm is a very real part of you as a human being, just like the physical realm is. And you can hurt in the spiritual realm to the point where you don't even think properly. You're indecisive. You you're fragile, and so forth. What we need is to have that spirit nurtured by the Lord. Sometimes an angelic conflict will do this. If you come under intense satanic attack, the same effect can occur. You can get into an extremely depressed state. And remember what Satan tries to do, he tries to destroy. He tries to destroy man's institutions like marriages and families and governments. He tries to destroy the physical body. He tries to destroy people emotionally. We know this from the sufferings that the demoniac faced. I think it's Mark chapter 9 where Jesus met this demoniac. He was always crying. He was always cutting himself. Notice the physical destruction and so forth. He was alienated. He was in the tombs, depressed. So Satan can do this as well. And this is why we really need to long to the Lord. I'm convinced that the vast majority of so-called psychological problems that people have, they're spiritual problems. Okay. Yes, there are some psychological things that are called psychological that are result of physical problems. If there is a lithium imbalance or something else, there might be a neurological problem. That's why I recommend people go to see a medical doctor first if you've got this type of a problem. If he gives you a clear bill of health, and it's obviously it's a spiritual situation, but the vast majority of these situations are spiritual, and the solution is faith in God. It's that simple. And in order to have faith in God, you have to understand who and what God's like. God's big. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's all-powerful. He's sovereign. That's the type of God that we constantly need to focus on. And a lot of people don't have a big enough view of God. God's kind of in a little box here, and the problem's bigger than God. That's where you run into difficulties. Our God is great. And David's God was always great and greater than he was. So he knew where to go when he ran into this type of difficulty. That's what we need to do. So if we face emotionally and mentally overwhelming harassment from our foes, may we hope in an almighty God. Notice the emphasis on almighty. And his purpose for our life, and ask him for clear guidance and an achievable path in our trial. God has a purpose for your life. He has an assignment for you that he wants you to achieve, or he wants you to accomplish. He has one for me. So the purpose of our existence is not for our happiness, per se. It's for God. We were put on this earth for God, not for us. For God, for God's glory. That's why we're here. And so God wants us to occupy ourselves with his interests in our lives, not our interests in our lives. We've got it all wrong in our culture in America. You know, is when people are graduating from high school and college, speakers at commencement services will say, okay, you've got the world by the tail. You're young and you've got your energy, so go out and make something of yourself. That it should be just the opposite. We should be telling young people, you're graduating from high school, that's great, but did you know that you were created by God and for God? So what we urge you to do is to go out and find the niche that God has for your life and fit it, and occupy yourself with God and fulfilling God's plan for your life. And that's where you will find your greatest purpose in life, is fulfilling his plan. And that's what David did. He recognized he was just a slave of God. You'll notice the verse 12. I myself am your servant. That's a tremendous calling. If you're a servant of the Lord, remember in the context in the ancient Near East, the master was responsible to take care of his servant. Okay, it's kind of like if you're a soldier. We have a retired soldier here in our midst this morning. If you're a soldier and you're in the government is responsible. I mean, you're responsible to obey the government. The government's also responsible to take care of you. They have to pay your salary and so forth, your insurance, that kind of a thing. Same in those days. If you were a servant, if you were a slave, your master was responsible to care for you. So David, in verse 12, says, in your loyal love, silence my enemies and destroy all who harass my life principle. For I myself am your servant. You're responsible, Lord. You're the master. You got to take care of me. So you got to protect me. You got to come to my aid. And the Lord loves it when we hold him to the relationship that he has with us. God, you're my master. Okay, I'm expecting you to take care of me. And God says, that's it. That's what I want. I want you to trust in me as your master. So if the Lord is your master, he'll take care of you. It's like David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In order to be lacking, so you don't want anything, you have to make sure the Lord is your shepherd. And if he's your shepherd, he's your overseer, he's your boss, he's your master, he owns you. And if we look at God that way, okay, he'll meet our needs. But if we go off and do our own thing, God pretty much says, hey, you're on your own. It's all yours. So this is a call to come back to this being a servant of the Lord. Okay, we've gone through the lesson. If you have any questions or feedback in regards to the lesson, feel free to bring it up at this time. If there's something else that has come up and you want to have it addressed, feel free to ask a question in regards to